Don't go in there, Todd. That podcast is cursed.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's the curse of Chucky on the season finale of the Bitter End podcast. We've reached the bitter end.
For now. Because while right now, at the time of recording, this is the final movie of the Child's Play / Chucky franchise. This is the curse of Chucky. Tom, in just a few very short weeks that feel very long to me.
Oh, yeah.
There's a brand new Child's Play movie coming out. But for now, this is all we've got.
This is it. So let's hope we go out on a temporary bang. With me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan.
Hey-o!
Now, yes. We have just watched the trailer for Curse of Chucky. And, ooh, it's a different kettle of fish.
It doesn't look like Tiffany is in there at all.
I'm not seeing any Tiffany.
I think this looks like just like a, it looks like a reboot to me.
It looks like a total reboot. I mean, it is from 2013, so 5 years have passed. But you know what else it looks like? It looks fucking scary, man.
Yeah, they've ditched the goofiness, and the Chucky doll has now gone back to scaring me again.
Yeah, this one is scary, and I don't mind it. When you say they've ditched the goof, I'd grown to love the goof, but like,
oh yeah.
Chucky is a real Renaissance doll, and I think he can do both. And this looks terrifying. It looks very low on characters. We've got a little girl with a, what appears to be a brand new good guy doll. We've got a mother who's possibly in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
They're in a big spooky house.
And Chucky's there.
And Chucky's there.
And the doll is slightly different, has a slightly more human quality about it, and it's very unsettling.
Longer hair, maybe?
Maybe. And the doll, when it's in the factory good guys setting, is really mouth open. It's really like, like a goldfish. And it doesn't really give much of a hint about what any big plot points. So I'm really interested to see whether or not this is a fresh start. If this is somehow going to tie into the events and films we've seen already.
Yeah, I've just realised I was incredibly dumb and suck at maths. 5 years haven't passed, Tom. 9 years have passed. I just absolutely have to say that now because people are screaming at their phones. 9 years, 9 years. And 9 years is a big difference from nine to five.
That's a bunch more years.
I understand from Dolly Parton that from nine to five,
It's a fucking hell of a way to make a living, man.
Yeah.
Anywho, look forward to getting into this and just seeing how this franchise kind of rounds off. And if we don't like it, doesn't matter, there's another film coming along shortly. So, bully for us.
We can have our cake and eat it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We can have our Swedish meatballs and murder people while eating them.
Oh, yes.
So, Tom, we're going to have to play the IMDb guessing game. I see no reason to delay.
No.
Let's just get right into it. So fucking Seed of Chucky, aka the only film that exists in the world.
Yeah.
There is Seed of Chucky, and then there are wannabe Seed of Chuckies. And the great film itself achieved the perfect score of 4.9 out of 4.9, which is the highest score you can get on IMDb. What do you think, from the looks of the trailer, that Curse of Chucky got?
I really don't know, because it again looks like they've just kind of started from scratch, which could mean it could go up again, as it did when they did started it being Chucky rather than Child's Play. But it also looks like they've gone, like, it's a bit more modern and they've got a bit more serious. And we've known that that hasn't really done very well when they've done that with Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. Of course, we've still got Big Bad Brad DeRiff coming back to voice Chucky. So it's not like a complete, if it is even a kind of a reboot, it's still got the man himself providing the voice. But so I feel that there's a strong argument made for going up or down. But I think I will go down, just because these slightly newer horror films that take themselves quite seriously just don't really.
How far down from 4.9?
4.6.
Well, buddy. Higher.
Yeah.
A whole point higher. 5.6.
Oh my God, we go up.
Yeah, we go up. This is a respected film.
Oh my, this franchise is just bulletproof, really, compared to other ones that just like, they just go down. The only other one that's kind of had this kind of thing was maybe, well, I guess Universal Soldier went up, because it tanked it on the first and the second and third films. And also The Howling absolutely shat the bed. But this is still not usual.
Yeah.
Very interested.
What a batshit franchise. What a crazy ride to be on.
Well, fucking jump on that pony and hold on for dear life.
Jump on its head and go...
It's the only thing that seems fitting. Let's go in.
We did it, buddy!
We did it. We've watched all the films for the moment.
For now. For the period of a few weeks, we are... caught up, baby!
Yeah, no one can tell us we haven't seen all these films. And what a way to go out!
Tom, what did you think?
You know what my overriding feeling was for the majority of this film?
What's that?
Boredom. I found a lot of it pretty fucking boring.
My goodness.
Yeah.
This is the first time in a while that you and I have had a very different experience of the movie.
Okay.
I was on the edge of my seat.
See, I didn't find it scary.
What?
No. You know, like, a lot of the problem I had with this film is the spooky house that they put it in.
Oh, it's such a spooky
house. They put it in
house.
A fucking, you know, like, oh, did Tim Burton used to live here? It's like that kind of spooky house. And everything is dark all of the time. And then there's a point in the film where the power goes out. It's like, oh my God, it's dark. It's been dark the whole time.
Okay, I will
even
concede.
In the daylight, it's like everything... If everything, like the whole thing with Child's Play and Chucky is it's you're making the ordinary scary. You're making this innocent child's toy a thing of evil. And like, you know, like in the first film, you just got the, you're in the family home. And then there's this menace in there just running around. Everything's brightly lit. The telly's on, all this stuff. They're living in fucking the Addams Family house. And like, so it's just like, I don't know, like, it's trying too hard to be like, it's scary, yeah? It's scary. When it's scary, how scary things going to happen? It's kind of like, there's no... If everything is trying to indicate scary, I was just kind of like, that's not...
May.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So how did you feel about this movie?
I thought it was scary.
Okay.
I liked it. I wonder if this might be a... side effect of you having had to watch this movie on a train.
It might have been.
While I watched it on my own in a dark room.
I started watching... I probably watched the first, like, 15 minutes at home while I ate my breakfast, you know, like, on the telly, and then, like, took the film on the train with me. And even, like, it was from the get-go that, like, I had a funny feeling about this film.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I felt it was trying quite hard to be quite serious, especially after the last film. And it's what we said before we watched the film, like, is this going to be, like, the new, like, you know, the last Friday the 13th, the last Elm Street, and just be like, we're taking it very seriously, everything's going to be dark all of the time. And I don't give a fuck about things being dark all the time.
Oh,
it doesn't need to be dark all the time.
So the very first thing that I noticed, Tom, is that the music is yet again provided by another really heavy-hitting pedigree horror movie score composer, Mr. Joe LaDuca, who is responsible for scoring every single one of the Evil Dead movies.
Oh, nice.
So it's got a really nice, lush, kind of almost old Hollywood, but slightly cartoonishly over-the-top. Like score vibe, you got to check out some of the music for this. I enjoyed that very much.
I will concede, yes, the music was good. There was good music going on, and then we get introduced to our main character, Nika.
Nika, unusual name.
Nika, played by Fiona DeRiff, daughter of Big Bad Brad, the Big Bad Lad.
Yes!
Yeah, she... I was like, fuck, I recognise her. She was in recently in the Netflix series Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. She's great in that.
Yeah.
It was a good show. I'd check that out.
She's great in this, I would say.
She's the best thing in it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, out of all the other... She's out of the character, I give a shit about her, and I think where interesting things are being done in this film, it's all centering around her.
Yes. So Fiona DeRiff, aka Nika, is our she's our heroine. She's in the spooky house. Nika is confined to a wheelchair.
Yep.
And her mum is also living with her, and they've got this weird sort of codependent relationship where, like, the mum's a bit unstable, spends all day every day painting sunflowers, over and over again painting sunflowers, and they're kind of confined to this house. When we first meet Nika, she's Googling for, like, trips to Europe, knowing that she can't really do it, because partly because of the wheelchair, partly because she's got to look after her mum, but her mum thinks she's looking after her.
And they have, like, this weird kind of, like, they seem like they really hate each other, but then there's bits where, like, a mysterious package gets delivered to the house, and the delivery guy is chatting up Nika. He's not, like, fazed by, like, the wheelchair or anything like that. He's just kind of like, hey, you're a hot piece, I'm going to chat you up. And the mum's kind of like, yeah, girl, and she's checking you out. And, like, so there's, yeah, it's an uneasy relationship with the two of them. It's ebbs and flows.
Because then Nika is like, oh, if you think he was checking me out, maybe I should go ask him out. And the mum's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, it's because I don't want you to be hurt. But we kind of know that it's partly because the mum's a bit worried about losing Nika. Now, I've actually mentioned this movie once before. I believe I mentioned it at the end of the last episode, Seed of Chucky. Homework for any listeners that are interested in delving a bit deeper into, like, horror as, like, a general world. Maybe if you haven't seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, the influence of it was fairly strong in Glenn/Glenda's appearance at the end of Seed of Chucky, but the opening of this film, this cribs so hard from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
It's okay.
Like, almost like a remake in a way of these opening scenes. It's so good. Which that is about these two elderly sisters, one of whom is wheelchair bound. And they're forced to live in this palatial Hollywood apartment together, and they can never leave, and they hate each other, but they have to look after each other. And from there, it becomes this really sort of taut psychological horror when they kind of start, like, tormenting each other over and over again. Great movie. You got to watch Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Anyway, I was dying to get that out. That's not the movie we're talking about. We have to carry on.
Let's talk about the movie that we just watched. Like I said, the delivery man comes and drops off a big old box. Gonna open up that box. It's Chucky.
Well, yeah. And so this is interesting, too, because it's a good guy. Comes out of the box. Yep. Different face. Kind of chipper face. You know, not even different from the original good guys, even. The mouth is open, like, slightly different nose.
Yeah,
but when the mum turns it on and the doll introduces itself, as all good guys do, it does say, hi, I'm Chucky. So I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Now, this does get explained, guys, so it's okay, but it's an interesting start. I'm like,
I mean, kind of gets explained. We'll get to this.
It does get explained.
But does it? We'll get to this.
All right.
Anyway, the mum's like, who sent us the doll? Throws him in the bin. He's not going to like that, is he?
No, he's not going to like that.
You just know, like, oh, you shouldn't have done that, mum.
Cut to another classic horror trope. We're outside the house. We're just sort of looking up. It's all dark and stormy. And just off in the distance from inside the house, we hear the mum suddenly screaming with terror. Oh. Ah, rah, and then the scream is cut short. Oh, my God.
What's happened? Nika, like, and this is the thing, like, with Nika, when stuff is happening, obviously, because she's wheelchair bound, they're living in this big house that's on, you know, like, two stories, so that she's got to take a lift up and down stairs. If things are happening, she cannot react that quickly. She's got to wheel herself around. And that's, like, where a lot of, like, the kind of, like, where they're doing something different with the horror vibe by having her in the chair. She goes and finds her mum, and her mum is dead in the hallway.
Big puddle of blood.
Now, this was cool. Like, I liked the reveal of this, because you don't see the mum's body right away. You just see, like, the floor, and then this pool of blood slowly spill out from the corner of the screen. And then in that pool of blood, you get the reflection of Nika seeing her mum's body.
Yes.
That was cool.
So cool. And then also what follows is that this is kind of where we get, like, Curse of Chucky comes up on the screen, and, like, the Joe LaDuca music, like, really builds to a swell, and it's like our sort of opening sequence, really. But the camera spins around over this 360-degree shot with Chucky in the middle, while in the background we see sort of a time-lapse of what happens overnight.
Oh, yes, yes.
And this is kind of really effective, because essentially Nika is just forced to spend the night just like sitting in her wheelchair next to her mum's body because she can't go anywhere. And then like we see the sun rise and comes up, and then like the ambulance guys turn up and take the mum's body away in a bag.
Oh,
it's heady brew.
And then the family arrive.
Oh my God.
For the funeral. So we get Nika's older sister, Barb.
Yeah. Don't like Barb.
She's instantly signposted as being a right old bitch.
She's, if they could have had her talking about organic eggs and good sushi and how she doesn't own a TV, they would have done.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know that's what she'd be into. And then the husband, Barb's husband, Ian.
He seems likable.
He seems likable in a very bland way.
Yeah, yeah.
But you feel like he could go either way. Like, is this guy going to be nice, or is he going to be later revealed to be a douchebag? Yep. That's kind of what they're doing with Ian. We've got the daughter, Alice.
Yep, she's like maybe 7 or something.
Yeah, she's like girl Andy Barclay,
yeah,
isn't she? And then we've got Jill, the as Barb describes her, this is our au pair. And she goes, no, I'm just the nanny. And I was like, is it not kind of the same thing?
Well, I think the joke there is that Barb is being a bit pretentious.
Yeah, yeah, fucking Barb.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. How dare she use foreign words?
This is her organic eggs.
Yeah, she calls the nanny the au pair. There's another character you've forgotten that turns up with Jill. There is fucking badass looking Father Frank, the priest.
Oh, yeah, he looks like he should be fighting zombies in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Honestly, he could have easily been cast in, like, a Universal Soldier movie just for his physique. He's this, like, fucking built, like, really stern-looking ex-military, but kind of kindly priest fellow.
Yeah, he's got, like, a jaw you could knock a wall down with. Like, he's, yeah.
And we get a lot established. So there's a few lines to establish that. Nika and Barb's mum was troubled. Nika's like, no, I don't think she would have killed herself because she was taking her meds. She was trying so hard. She's been fine lately. She was even painting her sunflowers again. So there's a bit of sort of troubled backstory there. And the fact that Father Frank is there becomes an issue of contention because it becomes clear that Nika is an atheist, but her sister Barb is a stern...
She's a believer.
She's a believer, yes, absolutely. And so there's a lot of tension between the sisters already.
There's also money issues because Barb wants them to sell the house because they both have a stake in the house. Her and her family need money. I think Ian should be doing like a college professor, but instead he's working as a barista somewhere. He can't get work. They're struggling, and she kind of wants to sell the house and then bung Nika in like a care home.
And Nika's like, but you're paying $400 a week for a nanny / au pair.
It's like, we need the nanny. You don't understand. And this is where they start sowing seeds that maybe Ian is having sex with the nanny. That maybe,
or at least he kind of has a few like leering looks.
Yeah.
At least he wants to, and Barb doesn't like it.
Yeah.
This is where I'm hooked at this point, man. You've got like a bunch of characters with clear motivations for why they are all miserable, and you've stuck them all in a claustrophobic, spooky, ooky house, and you've made the most likable one the most... She's like double claustrophobic, Nika. Because
she's the most vulnerable.
She's so confined and like moving slow, and she's the only one that's trying to do the right thing. But like, you know, we don't know who we can trust. It's really great.
I get it. Some of it was leaving me a bit cold. I liked the priest. Like Barb works well as being like that cartoonishly douchebaggy person in a horror film. Like. It's a little bit one-sided, like, you know, like her evilness.
She's not...
I could see all the parts. I could see all the parts and how they're moving together. I just couldn't break through.
You couldn't break through.
Yeah. But what about the Chucky doll? What about the Chucky doll? It was in the bin. It's not in the bin anymore. Nika's like, oh, I've got a present for you, Alice. Why don't you have this Chucky doll? Oh, it's not here. Where's the Chucky doll gone? This happens a lot in the film. They go, where's the Chucky doll gone? Where's it gone? Where's it gone? They all have a look around. It's always in the bathroom for some reason. Alice goes to the loo. She finds Chucky in the bathroom. And
loves Chucky.
Yeah, there's a build-up where you think, like, oh, my God, is something going to happen in the bathroom? Is Chucky going to kill it? No, she's just like, I love him. He's brilliant. Look at his little fucking face.
It's a bit different from in the last movie, but maybe that will be revealed later.
Oh, well, let's hope so. Let's hope we stick to the canon.
Thanks, Alice. Thank you.
Yeah, and so this is kind of, we're all set. The gang's all there. So they decide to have some dinner. Nika's going to cook dinner. Alice is going to help. And Alice is like, Chucky will be my helper.
Let's go make chili.
Let's go make some really bland looking chili.
I mean, how long do they have to make chili? You got to spend time making chili, man. You got to cook those flavors in, and they're all there going, oh, this chili is so good.
Well, it's a vegetarian chili, to be fair, Tom. Yeah. So, you know, you don't need to render down the fat.
No, that's true.
You don't need to do any of this. All you need to do, Tom, is use Chekhov's peen stabber.
Yeah.
To cut up some tomatoes, pop them in a bowl.
Yeah, that, and also bit of cheeky rat poison.
Bit of cheeky rat poison.
When everything's plated up, Chucky comes alive and he grabs some rat poison and he pops it in one of the bowls.
One of the six. So they sit down to table.
It's Russian roulette.
Russian roulette. Because again, just to remind you, at the table we've got Nika in the wheelchair. We've got Barb, Nika's bitch sister. Ian, Barb's totally bland husband. We've got Father Frank, the badass priest.
Yeah.
We've got Jill, the sexy au pair, and Alice, the little girl.
Who has eaten that chili? And I think we can all guess who's probably eaten the chili.
Well, this whole scene, the way this plays out, is
it's kind of gross. There's so many close-ups of people going,
but there's also a lot of like, oh, there's a lot of character in the things that they say to each other and the things that they don't say.
Mm.
So you can tell straight away that Barb makes like a bitchy remark. She's like, before anyone eats, she's like, oh, is this vegetarian? And Nika's like, yeah, of course it's vegetarian.
And then she seems a bit like kind of,
because everyone's like loving it so much and they're like, oh, I can't believe it, it's so delicious.
But she's just trying to undermine her sister.
So she's like, oh, could you pass the salt? She's the only one that thinks it needs more salt.
Yes, yeah. So yeah, there was all this stuff going on. That's cool. I still didn't love it. I still thought it went on quite a long time.
Oh, see, I was really, like, hooked.
You were really enjoying, like, yeah, the length. Because I was thinking, like, if they'd made this in the 80s, we'd be rattling through it. We'd be hitting all of these character points, but we'd be doing it in, like, a much more punchy way, whereas this is quite sort of, like, a bit more ponderous. Because I think I was just kind of like, are we still on the chili eating?
It is long.
It's quite long.
And it culminates with Father Frank gets a sweaty forehead. And you sort of see this look on his face. He's like, my forehead shouldn't be quite this sweaty.
But he gets the worries as well, because he's like, ah, the good guy doll. Like, they start talking about good guy dolls. And Father Frank seems to think that there was something up with those. Like, didn't I hear something about those in the news once? Or something like
and
that.
And Ian's then just like, oh, I had one in the 80s.
The 80s were awesome, yeah. And then Father Frank gets a sweaty forehead and suddenly goes like, I must be going. And you can't tell if it's like, oh, is it because he's like, I feel like I'm going to shit myself and die? Or is he like, I think there is something wrong. There is an evil presence in this house. He knows something about Chucky. He needs to get out of there. We will never find out.
No, because he leaves with the ominous line, because there's a funeral the next day. He says to everybody, I will see you at the cemetery.
Foreshadowing.
Well, they might see you, mate, but you won't see them because you will be brown bed dead.
Yeah. So he crashes his car on the way home.
Presumably because of the poison, because nobody else dies. So he ate the poison, gave him a sweaty forehead. His forehead's so sweaty while he's driving, so sweaty. Oh my God, I'm going to die of sweaty forehead. He possibly dies behind the wheel or does like a half die. So he
does a half die. He smashes into like a tree or a lorry or something.
Another car kills two innocent other people.
And then we get this cop who's kind of like rolling up, they're like, ah, the priest, he must have been drunk or something. He's like, he hasn't touched a drop for ages. He's my sponsor. And all this kind of shit. It's like, ooh, a little bit of backstory on this cop. I wonder when we'll see him. In about an hour, we'll see him again. And we get the reveal of the destroyed car and Frank kind of like pinned under like a bit of like the bonnet of the car, and like the cop is like, oh my God, we gotta get him out of there, he's gonna die. And the guy goes like, the rescue team are like, we can't make that car. It's like, you gotta get him out of there. They go, okay. They pull the thing off, his head falls off. Clean falls off, blood everywhere, sprays in the cop's face. He's got to be feeling silly.
I believe the phrase, Tom, is good night nurse.
It is good night nurse. This was quite a cool, this was quite a cool death.
How are you not loving this?
See, I enjoyed that. That was a good death. And I enjoyed like how dumb it made that cop look. Like, he must have been like, doh. He's going to go home to his missus and be like, it's like, how was your day at work, honey? He's like, not good.
Don't ask. So this is a good scene that's followed what I thought was a very good scene around the dinner table. And guess what, Tom? Mm. What happens next?
Oh, is it a good scene?
It's a pretty good scene, Tom.
What scene? Tell me about that scene.
So we get to see some of the family home movies. So the sisters are sort of sitting around. They're watching this old sort of 8mm footage of the family. And it's shot before Nika's birth. While
Mum is pregnant
with Nika, we've got Barb running around being a little kid eating a hot dog at a picnic mm-hmm. in a barbecue, and we get to see the dad, and you know, he's alive, he's sort of with the mum, looks like a nice guy, and the au pair slash nanny is like, what happened to your dad? And they go, oh, he drowned. And then the camera pans over, and in the background, oh, hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Who's this cheeky chappy in his Hawaiian shirt?
In a Hawaiian shirt at a barbecue with lank black hair. It's a bit of a lad. He's quite big.
Yeah?
He's bad. It's big, bad Brad, the big, bad lad, in young makeup as himself. For a minute, I thought they just hired a young lookalike, but it's a real big bad Brad.
Yeah.
He's at the barbecue too.
And then you suddenly go like, okay, well, here's a thread now that we can pull on as to why Chucky has been mailed to this random spooky house.
Yeah, because even Nika's like, who's that creepy guy at the family barbecue? Yeah. And Barbie's like, oh, just a family friend back from Chicago.
Yeah. See, this kind of piqued my interest. I was like, okay, cool. I want to see, you know, let's have some more Chucky, like, at this point. Because I was feeling a little bit like, They're hiding him. Obviously, like, we've seen him, and we know that he's been getting up to some business, but we've had, like, all these other films where we know exactly what he's about. We know what he can do. You can't put the rabbit back in the hat, you know? Like,
it will bite your finger.
Exactly.
And poop in the hat.
Yeah, I mean, Chucky would do exactly the same thing. So it was kind of like, it just felt like, kind of like, let's get Chucky going here. Let's just ramp him up.
Well, Tom, we don't ramp up Chucky just yet, but what we do get is the movie's second big surprise. The first one being Big Bad Brad at the barbecue. The second one is, surprise lesbians.
Hello. We all thought that Jill was having it away with Ian, the sad barista, but instead she's having it away with Barb, the evil mum.
Yeah. Now, this really caught me by surprise, actually. You know, I was being led by the nose that it was going to be about Ian having an affair, but no.
Nah, it's the mum. Around this time, Nika's feeling a little bit suspicious, and she's like, I wonder where this package came from, this mysterious doll. And there's the big storm going, so the phone is cutting out, but it sounds a bit like evidence depository. Then the phone goes dead. Like, oh, what's that all about? This will probably set off what in the film can only be described as laptop time.
Laptop time!
Everybody, like, everyone who's awake, get on your fucking laptop. Nika gets on her laptop and starts researching Chucky evil things, and she's kind of picking the thing like, oh, this good guy doll is linked to some shit.
Here's Andy Barclay. Here's like a picture of Charles Lee Ray as a bloke. I recognize him from the family barbecue.
You know, all
of this stuff.
All that stuff's going on. Meanwhile, Jill is sharing a room with Alice because she is the au pair or nanny, if you will. And she takes off all of her clothes apart from her underwear and then gets on the laptop. And I was kind of like, who takes off most of their clothes just to, like, what's going on here? Is this just gratuitous, like, slasher bit of skin? It's like, no. She's going on video chat to talk to Barb, who is in bed on her laptop while her husband is sleeping next to her. And they're having this weird kind of, like, cute waving at each other session. Like, because what are they...
Well, because this is the thing. They're not really... They can't talk to each other because that will wake Alice and Ian.
They can't do anything... a really erotic. It's so they're just kind of like going, ooh.
Of a secret thrill. I think she just wants to see Jill in her bra. Mm. And so that's kind of what it is. And there'd maybe be like a little bit of strip-teasy element going on.
Yeah.
But this is quite good because what actually happens is Barb, the mum, on her end of the Skype chat, behind, you know, underpants Jill, she sees Chucky sort of get up and start moving. And she's like,
Just out of the corner of her eye. Yeah, she looks away. She's like, did I see that?
And so she's trying to get Jill to turn around.
She might think it's Alice.
Maybe. Or Alice moving Chucky.
Yeah.
So she's trying to get Jill to turn around, but she can't say anything. She keeps pointing at the screen, and Jill thinks that it's just like a sort of a bit of sexy play pointing. So she points back. She's like, no. Like, you gotta look behind you.
But then she does, you know. Jill does not see Chucky. Chucky is stood at the end of the bed next to a bucket that has been catching rainwater from the leaky roof, and he boots it over. Water runs over the floor, over her feet, and into an electrical socket, which is in the floorboards, not even in the wall.
This is the most dangerous electrical socket I've ever seen in my entire life.
And it fucking electrocutes her.
Yep.
At which point all the electrics go out in the house.
All the lights go out. Her eye like burns out, her right eye.
Yeah.
And Chucky says the line, "Women can't live with them, period."
Very Chucky line.
Very Chucky line. I mean, he had a bride.
He did have a bride. I mean, they have a troubled relationship.
Yes, true.
She did try and kill him twice, and he did try and kill her twice. Anyway, so because all the lights and all the electrics are going, Barb doesn't see this, but she's getting up and she's like, oh, I'm going to go and see what's going on in that room. She has a Barney with Ian. They're having a bit of a row where they're both calling each other out about, you know, it's like, Ian, why do you give her those leering looks? And he's like, right back at you. And she's like, oh, I'm not having an affair with our au pair. And he's like, God's sake, Barb, she's a nanny. And yes, you fucking are. You're completely overcompensating here. Rein it in. By the way, I put a hidden camera in the Chucky doll.
Yes, he put the nanny cam in Chucky because he's been trying to catch her in the affair that he knows is going on so that he can get sole custody of Alice, their daughter. Now, Barb goes off in a huff. She's like, bollocks to you, this is nonsense, but really she wants to find Chucky and get the camera, right? Got to get that camera doll.
Finds Chucky on the stairs. So she never goes into the room with Alice and burnt up Jill in. Finds Chucky on the stairs. Takes Chucky upstairs into the attic. No, she knows that Alice is missing, but she doesn't. I don't think she clocks Jill.
She doesn't clock Jill. She knows Alice is missing.
So she's looking.
On the landing, she has a run-in with Nika. Mm. So Nika's just seen all of this stuff on her murder laptop, including a totally badass picture of Big Bad Brad, the big bad lad, where he looks like Glenn Danzig.
Nice.
So she knows that something's up with the doll. She's like, this sounds crazy, but you've got to drop that doll, Barb. And Barb thinks she's talking about the camera, and she's like, yeah, I know about it. I know. And
but Nika's something's like, no, it's got an evil spirit in. And she's like, no, you think that I think that there's a camera in it. It's like, oh, what a classic mix-up. We'll laugh about this later. They fucking won't, you know.
They won't.
Barb is like, fuck you.
I've always hated you.
You're a fucking bitch. Goes up into the attic, still looking for Alice. At which point she puts Chucky down. Chucky disappears. Chucky pops over here, disappears, does a bit of that. Oh, she finds a fucking big knife in his dungarees.
A big knife in his dungarees alongside the nanny cam. And notices something. She's like, while she's getting the camera out, she's like looking at the doll. She's like, his lip is peeling. Mm. Why is Chucky's lip peeling? And she gives the lip a bit of a tug, and it's a latex fake lip. And underneath, there is a split, stitched up lip.
Mm.
She's like, what? Turns out there's all kinds of latex on this face. She pulls it. There's Chucky's old nose. Pulls a bit more. There's his actual proper eyes. There's loads more stitches on his face. What the fuck? Someone's tried to make this doll look not scary.
But it is scary. It's bride of seed of Chucky look is back.
Yes, mate.
Yeah. At which point then Chucky stabs her in the eye.
Stabs her in the eye, though. And this bit is super, super good. It's way more bloody than I expected. And the best thing is that she doesn't die straight away because Nika's crawling up the stairs because she's the only one that knows at this point about Chucky.
And she can't get up the lift
because the power's out.
So now she's really kind of like struggling to get around.
And at the top of the stairs, she sees her sister Barb in silhouette, sort of standing and walking a bit crazy, like she's drunk or a zombie or something. But then she turns around and her eye's been stabbed. And then she falls down the stairs and her eyeball rolls down after her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, dead. And then Chucky appears at the top of the stairs. Because this is the thing, like, we've said this before, that with Chucky, if Chucky's just coming at you from the front, if you see him coming, he's not big, he doesn't weigh a lot, you could give him a boot, you could get him away. But because she is out of her wheelchair, she's on the floor, she's not as mobile as she would want to be, Chucky can just stand there and just walk forward and feel, like, confident that, like, he's not at a disadvantage. And it's a different side to like the Chucky and the sort of potential victim kind of like motif.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's interesting. What I want to know...
Nika is still fucking like handy though, because she whips away. She's just kind of like, whoop, I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah, she's great. I mean, Nika's my hero at this point.
Yes, so Nika's trying to get away.
To make that happen, she's going to need some help. She's got to go wake up the husband, Ian, because he was sleeping with earplugs in.
Yes, yes. So he has no idea what is going on. And he's like, oh my God, Jill and Barb are both dead. And he's like, oh my God. And he carries her and he sees the dead bodies and they run in slow motion down to the garage. And he gets her in like by the car and then he goes back to look for Alice. At this point, as he's leaving the room, Nika is like, oh yeah, by the way, don't go near the Chucky doll.
And he's like, fuck you talking about?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, whatever, I'm going. If you've got something really important you should have explained to me, you probably should have done it like this whole bit where we were walking through the house, because I'm blatantly now going to go and find the dead bodies, come back here and think that you did it. Oh no, that's what happens. He goes back and thinks that she did it. But not before Chucky can pop up and try and fucking gas Nika in the garage.
Yeah, this bit's cool. So he turns on the car. So the garage is filling up with the carbon monoxide. And then so she can't stop it. He fucking eats the keys.
Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah, well, she manages to get the engine turned off. But him eating the keys means they can't escape.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then Ian comes back and is like, what have you done? You're crazy. You've killed everybody. And she's like, nah. And she starts to have like a bit of a heart attack because it's been established previously she's got a weak heart. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, let's just calm this down. We're going to work out what's happened. I caught it all on the nanny cam.
Well, she blacks out because of this heart attack. She's like,
yeah.
She's like, oh, give me an adrenaline shot. And he's like, no, I fucking won't. She blacks out and then wakes up that Ian has gaffer taped her to her wheelchair and gags her mouth. So he really thinks that she did it. And yet, like you said, he's going through the nanny cam to try and find out what happened, but also try and find out where Alice is, because Alice has been taking Chucky everywhere, and he's like, hopefully I can find out where Alice is. He then sees everything that's been going on and then cuts to live feed,
which is right behind them.
Oh my God,
that bit was so cool as well. Like, such a cool reveal that you're watching this video and then like, where's it going, and it's like, that's me watching the video. Yeah. That I'm watching now.
Chucky kicks Nika's wheelchair, goes rolling over Ian and like conks him out on the floor. And then Chucky gets this hatchet and basically says, like, say hi to the missus for me. Cuts his bottom jaw off.
Oh, this is so good. Yeah, the hatchet falls like right kind of diagonally, not even diagonally, sorry, horizontally across his mouth. His whole bottom jaw falls down. His tongue like lollops out like bleh, and just so much blood. It's really well done.
This is pretty fucked up.
yeah.
And then he's like, now it's time to kill you, Nika.
And Chucky comes after Nika with the axe. Nika rears her like wheelchair up backwards, sort of defensively. His axe like lands right in her shin. And another thing that's been established earlier, Darth Vader's son, because she's got no feelings in her legs. So the axe is like embedded in her leg and she doesn't give a shit and like has to get that axe back out of her leg and then chops Chucky's head off.
But his head comes off, and it is a doll's head coming off of a doll's body. We have no blood or gore.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole Dembala kind of like, oh, if you stay in the body for too long, you will become flesh.
Yes, Tom.
I have issues with this.
So I understand why. So, you know, the longer he stays in the body, the more human he becomes.
Yep.
So the fact that it's a dull body, there's no blood, that would imply it's a fresh body.
Yep.
But then why the scars?
Why the scars?
Well, Tom, I'll tell you why the scars.
Okay.
A, they look cool.
Right, okay.
B, I like them. C, they're part of the brand. And D, you don't know what happened in between Chucky getting out of the evidence locker and like posting himself to this family home. He might have had to kill some people, some of whom may have fought back.
Maybe, but then why would he still have flesh wounds on his face? Those are flesh wounds.
Those are flesh wounds. Well, Tom, that's another good question, and one that I only wish we had time to answer on this
You're
podcast.
Just trying to see what you want to see.
I'm really sorry, Tom, but our podcast producer just behind you is tapping his watch and saying, we don't have time to answer this one.
Oh, okay. We've
got to move on.
I was Don Mancini on the phone trying to tell us not to dig too deep.
Don't tug the thread at all. The whole sweater will unravel.
This is some X-Files shit going on.
I'm sorry, Tom, I'm going to have to hurry you along.
I will not. The people will find out.
Because what Chucky then does is he
pops his head back on.
He's like, pretend that you didn't see that.
Don't worry, we're all still canon here, Bosch.
He takes Nika by the wheelchair and is just like driving her incredibly fast through the corridors of this dark, spooky house while the lightning is crashing. This bit's amazing. It's so scary. And he drives her right up to the edge of this banister and she flies off, falling through the air. Ah, my God, it's slow motion.
Boff.
Thud.
Yep.
Love it. And she is now in another expanding pool of blood, just like her mum.
She's not dead, though.
Not dead, because she's a fucking tough cookie.
And then she is lying on the floor and is kind of like, right, so you're Charles Lee Ray. How about some fucking backstory? And he's like, glad you asked.
And this is where the movie really kind of kicks up a gear.
This is where for me, I was kind of like, okay, cool. This is where things start to get a bit more interesting.
This is the payoff, because we sort of go into the family home movies. It's black and white. We're at the barbecue and we see young Big Bad Brad, the big bad lad, the man, Charles Lee Ray, walking around. And he looks a little bit like Glenn Danzig and a little bit like Brad Dourif's character from the Lord of the Rings movies, Wormtongue.
But with a Hawaiian shirt.
But with a Hawaiian
shirt. He's going to Kokomo.
Yeah, Kokomo via Mordor.
Yeah.
And he, at this barbecue, gets introduced to Nika's parents.
And he takes a shine.
Takes a shine to the mum. A little bit too much of a shine.
And to the kid.
And to the kid. So much so that it is heavily implied that he bumps off the dad.
Yeah.
In the drowning. And then at the funeral, makes his move on the mum. And then instantly we cut to Big Bad Brad's, the Big Bad Lad's murder dungeon. It's a creepy basement, which he has filled with sunflowers, which are the only thing that are in colour. Everything's
cool.
In black and white. The sunflowers are in bright yellow, which is why Nika's mum was obsessed with painting these sunflowers over and over again. And the mum is tied to a table, pregnant with Nika. And Braddy D has like got her captured there, and he's kind of pretending, play acting that they're a family, and the mum is kind of trying to play along as if to sort of protect the kids, because Brad's like, okay, I'm gonna go get Barb, you're currently outside of your body daughter.
Yeah.
And the mum is like, no, don't do that yet, let's have some sexy times first. And it's just a stalling tactic.
Yeah.
And it becomes really apparent that Brad is not even so much interested in, like, the mum sexually. He clearly is a bit, but he wants the whole package. He wants the family. He's like, no, you can't be keeping the children from me. That's selfish.
Yeah.
And then the cops turn up, because somehow the mum was able to get a message out about this, about the cops. We don't quite know how, but they've turned up. And he's like, you betrayed me. We could have had a beautiful family, but you've betrayed me. And so he stabs her in the stomach with a knife, which doesn't kill the baby, but does paralyze the baby. So Nika ends up being born paralyzed. We know why. And he runs out of his creepy murder basement.
De-ages.
de-ages a bit. It's almost as if it's like retro stock footage, and he's in the opening scene of the first Child's Play movie, yeah, where he's being chased by Prince Humperdinck, the cop, into the toy store.
So this is supposed to be, like the moments instantly preceding his death,
which is
in
cool.
The first film.
Cool. So that's kind of the backstory, and that's why Brad like has come for the daughter. So for a while I was like, oh, are they building up to the fact that Nika was maybe Brad Dourif's actual daughter? But no, he just felt entitled to her, which is darker and creepier.
It's very dark. It's quite, I guess, because this happens before he does Dembala and becomes Chucky the doll. But I like it. It's very creepy. Mm. It's more Freddy Krueger than Chucky. It doesn't seem like, he seems almost emotionally vulnerable when he's like, no, you can't, you can't have me all to yourself. You have to share me. Like, that doesn't seem like the Charles Lee Ray that we've seen with Tiffany. It's quite different. Like, because in that, he seems like a fucking horrible piece of shit. You know, like, well, a very different horrible piece of shit.
Especially if you consider how resistant he was to the idea of having Glenn or Glenda as a child.
Yes, or getting married.
So I like to think that a lot of that was just him overcompensating. He'd had his heart broken.
Okay.
Had his heart broken. And he even says, like, oh, since then, a lot of families have come and gone. The Barclays, mm-hmm, so that's Andy Barclay from the first two movies. The Kincaids, that's from Bride of Chucky. And the Tillys. So he's even talking about the fact that he kind of had this run-in with Jennifer Tilly. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know, but none of them were mine. In fact, you remind me of Andy Barclay. And then he gets this hate-filled look in his eyes. And he picks up a knife, and the note on my notebook just says, knifey, knifey.
Mm.
But then Nika stalls for time by talking to him about her thesis.
Yeah. She's like, he's saying, like, I killed them all. He's like, well, I didn't kill Andy, but I killed his childhood by harassing him the whole time. She's like, so you didn't kill him then? Oh, you dickhead. Didn't kill him. Oh, you didn't kill me when I was a fucking, like, baby in the womb. Like, this is, like, the longest murder ever. And she starts, like, winding him up.
Yeah, she's like, I wrote my thesis about completion anxiety. Yeah. Don't worry, that's what you're feeling. It's common for a lot of males.
Yeah, and then she's like, fuck off, dickhead. And then she crawls along the floor and gets back into the lift because the power goes on. Tries to send herself up the stairs. The power goes off again. She just gets kind of stuck. For some reason, she just holds on to the railings and the lift. Like, so it's like a cage lift.
Yeah, one of those cool, creepy Victorian
ones.
It's
very cool. She's holding on to those for some reason, whilst Chucky just slashes her hands repeatedly. It's like, just let go. Well, it's fine.
She's trying to grip the knife and hold it so that he can't, like, put it in her heart or her head or her throat. So she sacrifices her hands by she's trying to grab a hold of the knife and, like, take it from him by the blade, because she is fucking hardcore.
She's hardcore. At which point, that policeman that we saw about 45 minutes ago arrives to check out what was going on at this creepy old house. Hears all the commotion inside. Kicks in the door, finds, like, all these dead people everywhere, finds Nika looking fucked up in the lift, and, like, the Chucky doll just, like, you know, like, Chucky, he goes limp.
Yeah,
plays on.
Across the room, big smile on his face, because Chucky is super happy with this outcome, that Nika looks batshit insane.
And then we flash forward to a trial of Nika, where everyone's saying that she killed her whole family, and she's being committed to an asylum for the criminally insane. She gets wheeled off and she's shouting at Chucky because, like, Chucky's part of evidence.
Yeah, and she's going, you motherfucker, I'm still alive. You couldn't kill me, I'm still alive. And she looks so crazy.
It's pretty cool.
I'd like to mention at this point that, like, Fiona Dourif is great. Right, I know you said that you like her as the character, but as the actress even, she's great. Because at the start of this movie, she's so, like, sympathetic and you know, kind of a meek character, I suppose, because she's locked in this house with her, like, unstable mum. And at this point, she's really channeling, as an actress, she's kind of channeling some of her dad's voice work, I think.
Yes.
Just sounding so intense and crazy.
Yeah. And this point, we're like, okay, cool, nearly the end of the film. We then follow the cop who had busted in on Nika and Chucky, and he has popped Chucky in a bin bag.
Surreptitiously. A little bit sneaky, sneaky.
Sneaky, going off to his cop car. And you go like, this feels a lot like something I've seen before. Chucks Chucky on the passenger seat in the cop car. He gets on the phone. He's like, yep, I got it. Just don't forget my money. And he's like, hello, this feels very reminiscent, doesn't it?
Yeah. He looks over on the passenger seat and the black bin bag that's got Chucky in, it's moving in and out as if something's breathing inside the bin bag. And then, Tom, what happens?
Then, the best thing for me that could happen at nearly the very end of this, like, what, like a 100-minute movie, Jennifer Tilly pops out and slits his fucking throat in a callback to her introduction in Bride of Chucky.
Oh my God, she was in the back seat and she's looking 25 years old. Well, not 25 years older. No, wait, how long's it been? She's looking 9 years older, but still fucking cool as fuck. She slits his throat and she says, oh, they never learn, do they? And then she turns to Chucky and says, who's next? Cut to black. Now, this is amazing. There's some big stuff to
unpick. This is not even a cut to black.
I'm not saying it's the end of the film. I'm saying it's a cut to black, end of the scene.
Sorry.
So there's some stuff we need to unpick here. Did you notice, for example, Jennifer Tilly does not have the boob tattoo?
I didn't notice that.
She doesn't have the boob tattoo, which means...
She's Jennifer Tilly.
She's Jennifer Tilly, the actress. They've not tried to retcon the fact that that Tiffany...
Well,
the doll,
they've already mentioned the Tillys, haven't you? Know, like, the,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
As the fact, yeah. So,
it's the real Jennifer Tilly's body with Tiffany's soul inside.
I would have thought that she'd have gotten the tattoo put back on.
Yeah, I guess she just hasn't had time. I mean, anyway, it's been 9 years, but
she's busy.
She's had to, you know, over this time...
She's supposedly been looking after two kids, but where are they?
Where are they? Maybe something terrible happened.
We don't know. We don't know about that.
What she has been doing is putting fake scar tissue on her murder doll boyfriend's face.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. We are running out of time. So after
is
we cut...
Is that so?
Oh, no, sorry, Tom.
Oh, where's the heart of Dembala in all of this?
Oh, sorry. The producer's saying that we've forgotten a scene we're going to have to talk about. We don't have time to talk about what about the heart of Dembala. So because when Jennifer
Can we talk about the fact that at the end of the last film, they both murdered each other?
Tom, just say nothing. Just look into look into my eyes.
And that Chucky was...
Why
are they back together?
Tom, just look into my eyes. Just say Jennifer Tilly. Just say Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly.
Do you feel better, Tom?
Marginally.
Okay, good. So when Big Willy Jenny Tilly says to Big Bad Rad, the Big Bad Lad, who next? Well, I'll fucking tell you who next. Because we cut to a FedEx driver in a nice suburban neighbourhood delivering a package, a Good Guy doll-sized package. Who's it for? Well, it is for Alice, the little girl.
This film, you just wanted someone to go, Alice? Alice? Who the fuck is Alice?
That is a deep cut that only UK listeners are likely to get.
I do not care.
Okay. Alice the little girl. She's only seven, but she gets mail. And she's living with her other grandmother. Not the grandmother who Nika was living with, who died at the start of the movie. The other grandmother.
Ian's mum,
yeah. And she opens up Chucky and she's like, ah, oh, Chucky, you found me. That was the world's longest game of hide and seek. Where's my grandma? And Chucky goes, grandma's sleeping in the basement. Kind of like, you won't see her no more.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now it's time for another game. Let's play Hide the Soul. He starts doing his Dembala. The camera pans away. The music swells. And just before the credits roll, we see the grandma's face lurch up. She's got a clear plastic bag on her head. And she's suffocating. She's, and then it cuts.
I mean, this is a strong ending in that it's like, oh, fuck, has Chucky finally transferred his soul? Awesome. But, Todd, in the last film, he didn't want to transfer his soul anymore. He was happy being Chucky.
Jennifer Tilly.
Also, he didn't have the heart of Dembala.
Jennifer Tilly.
But also, Todd, there's a post-credit scene that just completely contradicts what we just saw.
No, it doesn't, Tom. No, it doesn't. I've done my thinking and I've thought of a mental crowbar that can get us out of the bit that you're about to talk about.
Is it the fact that he didn't have the heart of Dembala in that last scene and so the voodoo didn't work?
No, it's something better than that.
Okay.
Would you like to describe the post-credit scene?
Post-credit scene. it's someone else getting another fucking box. It's a young fella. He takes the box up. He pops it on his table. The phone rings. He answers the phone. He's like, "Oh, hey, Mum, how's it going? Oh, yeah, I'm all right. I'll be over tomorrow for my birthday. I don't want any surprises. I'm good." All while he's having this conversation with his mum, we see a knife come out of the box and start opening it. All while this conversation is going on, the camera pans from the opening box. We see on a side table, we see a diploma for graduation from Hurst Military Academy. We see a picture of Kyle in her amazing hat,
whoop, whoop,
and a picture of young Andy Barclay and his mum.
Yes.
It's fucking Andy Barclay, played by, I believe, the guy who played Andy Barclay.
The guy that played Andy Barclay as a child in parts one and two is back as an adult playing Andy. He's talking on the phone to his mum. There's even another sick callback. He says, I'll see you tomorrow. How's Mike? You know who Mike is? Prince Humperdinck. The cop from the first film. Him and his mum got together.
Sick.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of nice, right?
That's nice. And then we cut back to Chucky. He pops out of the box with his knife. And he's like, hehehehe. He's then suddenly looks up and sees Andy with a fucking pump action shotgun just like in his face. And he just says, "Play with this." Chucky goes, "Andy." Cut to black.
Oh, that is such a strong post-credit scene.
Yes, it's awesome. But it does totally like undermine the him trying to Dembala into Alice.
No. He gave it a go. And you know why it didn't work?
No?
Because the grandma wasn't dead. Chucky thought that she was dead in the basement. He's like, "She's sleeping in the basement. You won't see her no more." And then before it cuts to black, we see the grandma. She's struggling with the bag on her head. Presumably, she disturbed the Dembala and Chucky had to run away.
Okay,
there you
see.
Go. Didn't think of that, did you? Didn't fucking think of that, smart ass.
No, okay. Well,
are you fucking smarter than Don Mancini, are you?
Well, Don Mancini can tell me why Chucky, after not wanting to transfer his body into that like nice limo driver or anyone, as he said, "I'm happy. I'm Chucky, the killer doll, and I dig it." And why does he want to be a little girl? The one thing that Charles Lee Ray would 100% not want to be.
Tom,
why?
I'm glad
you and Don Mancini can answer me that.
Well, Tom, I've got a big surprise for you.
Yeah,
I've got Don Mancini here in the studio to answer your questions for you. Don, would you like to answer Tom's questions? Oh, he's got a sore throat, Tom. He can't speak right now. I'm really sorry, Don. Thank you for coming all the way to be on our podcast.
Oh, that's...
maybe next time you can answer these questions. I know you're a busy man. We'll see you later.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, Tom. We would have answered.
Convenient,
just a little bit croaky in the throat.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's definitely a really good explanation. Anywho,
that's the movie.
Anyway, the ending of this film, like, after the crazy gonzo goofiness of the last two films, I was like, yeah, fucking mine that backstory. Let's have all of that. I just could have done without about 70 minutes of the beginning just being like kind of like just quite ponderous.
I didn't find it ponderous. I found it to be very well executed suspense.
This is interesting. We've not had this kind of like clash of opinions, I don't think, on an episode.
It's tearing us apart, this movie, Tom.
I know. Just like Don Mancini's tearing apart the continuity of this film.
Well,
we had a good run, though. I mean, as the end of the franchise, where the wheels only came off for one of us. This has been a pretty solid run.
It's been the most solid franchise that we've covered.
We got a little bit of Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, and that's all you need. Yeah. A little bit of Jenny Goes Bar.
Yeah, it's all good.
So this is the point of the podcast where we would normally talk about the sequel, but we're not going to do it because, as we stand, the sequel isn't out yet. We're not going to cover that now. What we're going to do is we're going to back off, and next week we're going to do the franchise wrap-up, where we talk about the franchise as a whole currently. So all of the films in one, anything else that's a part of it, you know, the toys, the cultural impact that this has had, what it means, what's been written about you know, fun trivia, everything. And we'll also pitch our ideas for our own Child's Play sequels.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, me too. And that is the episode, if you are a new listener to the podcast, where we will reveal what we're going to be covering for the next season, season 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after that, this season will officially be over. And then we're going to wait a few weeks until the new movie comes out.
And then we're going to watch it.
Watch it as a bonus. Yeah. So that's kind of the lay of the land, right?
Yeah, cool. So stay tuned for all that shit. That's coming down the pipe. So, yeah, till next time. If you want to let us know how you feel about these films, how do you feel about what Don Mancini is doing in this film, you want to tell me, or tell Todd where you can go and stick it. Get at us on Twitter at BitterEndPod.
Or on Facebook at BitterEndPod. Until then, I am Todd Jordan.
I'm Tom Denny.
And we've had Don Mancini with... Oh, he's already got in the cab.
Oh, fuck's sake, Don.